My fellow Americans, this morning, our nation is overcome with shock, horror, and sorrow. This weekend, more than 80 people were killed or wounded in two evil attacks. On Saturday morning in El Paso, Texas, a wicked man went to a Walmart store where families were shopping with their loved ones. He shot and murdered 20 people and injured 26 others, including precious little children. Then, in the early hours of Sunday morning, Dayton, Ohio, another twisted monster opened fire on a crowded downtown street. He murdered 9 people, including his own sister, and injured 27 others. The First Lady and I join all Americans in praying and grieving for the victims, their families, and the survivors. We will stand by their side forever. We will never forget. These barbaric slaughters are an assault upon our communities, an attack upon our nation, and a crime against all of humanity. We are outraged and sickened by this monstrous evil, the cruelty, the hatred, the malice, the bloodshed, and the terror. Our hearts are shattered for every family whose parents, children, husbands, and wives were ripped from their arms and their lives. America weeps for the fallen. We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society. Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve. I want to thank the many law enforcement personnel who responded to these atrocities with the extraordinary grace and courage of American heroes. I have spoken with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, as well as Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, to express our profound sadness and unfailing support. Today, we also send the condolences of our nation to President Obrador of Mexico and all the people of Mexico for the loss of their citizens in the El Paso shooting. Terrible, terrible thing. I have also been in close contact with Attorney General Barr and FBI Director Wray. Federal authorities are on the ground, and I have directed them to provide any and all assistance required, whatever is needed. The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul.
Good evening, everyone. We're listening to President Trump speak on Monday following the shootings in El Paso and in Dayton. And the prayer call will start in 5 minutes.
Terrorism, whatever they need. We must recognize that the Internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts. We must shine light on the dark recesses of the Internet and stop mass murders before they start. The Internet, likewise, is used for human trafficking, illegal drug distribution, and so many other heinous crimes. The perils of the Internet and social media cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored. In the 2 decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another, over and over again, decade after decade. We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner that will truly make America safer and better for all. First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not? Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately. Cultural change is hard, but each of us can choose to build a culture that celebrates the inherent worth and dignity of every human life. That's what we have to do. Third, we must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement. Mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun. Fourth, we must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty, and that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay. These are just a few of the areas of cooperation that we can pursue.
We're listening to President Trump speak on Monday following the shootings, and the prayer call will start in 1 minute.
Actually work and make a very big difference. Republicans and Democrats have proven that we can join together in a bipartisan fashion to address this plague. Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases. At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks. Last year, we prosecuted a record number of firearms offenses. But there is so much more that we have to do. Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love. Our future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours, and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them. May God protect all of those from Texas to Ohio. May God bless the victims and their families.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the PrayersFor45.com call for Thursday, August 8th. We're glad you can join us tonight. We know everybody's got busy lives and busy schedules, and we appreciate you taking your time and energy to devote it to this prayer call. So thank you for being here, whether it's your first time on the call or you've been with us since August a year ago. And next week we will celebrate our one-year anniversary doing these prayer calls, and we'll probably take a moment and celebrate that somehow. We'll probably send an email out, let everybody know what we're going to do for that special night. I believe it's upcoming Sunday. It's either this Sunday or our prayer call next Thursday. I will double-check that. But watch your emails, and we'll let you know. But whether it's your first call or you've been with us, welcome. I am Scotty Sachs, the founder and one of the founders and director of Prayers for 45, and grateful that everybody is together tonight. We'll do our two prayers as we always do. Our first prayer for President Trump, his family, the administration. And our second prayer, we'll pray for the much-needed prayer for the reset of the rule of law. It seems as each day passes, we have more challenges that face this country and face this administration as it relates to the rule of law. We'll talk about that briefly. Well, let's get started with our first prayer. We'll bring in Kimberly to do our first prayer as she always does. Kimberly, how are you?
Oh, Scotty, I'm excited. Excited and fired up tonight.
You always come with your energy, and you're always fired up, and we love having you lead us in our first prayer, so we'll turn the floor over to you to get started.
All right. Thank you. I just was really thinking this week about the perfect balance that God exhibits all through the Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, of how he balances his mercy and his compassion and his love perfectly balanced with his extraordinary judgment. So I wanted to read a verse tonight before we prayed talking about that. It's out of the book of Ezekiel, which is one of the minor Old Testament prophets, probably a major prophet in the Old Testament. And it is a powerful verse of promise that assures us that there will be a recompense. There will be justice brought for those of us who have been oppressed by the wicked, and there will be judgment on the wicked. And so I'm going to read right now. The verse says, "I will seek the lost." This is God making a promise being written through the prophet Ezekiel. "I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bandage the crippled, and strengthen the weak and the sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, those who have become hard-hearted and perverse. I will feed them with judgment and punishment." So I just was excited about coming across that verse because I just love that God is a perfect example of balancing mercy with judgment. So, Father, we come into your presence right now, and we recognize that you are the judge of all of the universe. We also recognize that you are all things good, that you are the God who loves, that you are the only God of the world, Lord. And we thank you that you are creator and that you are our judge and that you are our healer and that you are the one who says, "I will vindicate, I will restore, and I will repay." And so, Father, we come into your throne tonight recognizing that you are the one who will settle the debts. You are the one who says, "I, the Lord, your God, will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And so we call upon your righteousness and your justice and your mercy tonight, all in the same prayer, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to use the man that we know as President Trump to bring forth your judgment on our nation. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who is using Trump to bring forth a return to the rule of law. We thank you, Lord, that you are using Trump to bring forth your healing in our land. Lord, we thank you that you are also bringing forth this incredible movement of giving those who have been victims of oppression a voice. Father, it is so hard if we've never walked in the shoes of those who have been heinously oppressed, Father, no matter what kind of sin has happened, Lord, whatever it is, Father, it is so amazing to be an advocate to give those people a voice. Father, I thank you that you have allowed Trump to be called for such a time as this to execute executive orders, to sign executive orders that are speaking towards the crimes against humanity that have not just happened in our nation but across our world, Lord. We thank you that you are using him to do this end. Father, we thank you that you are also seeking payment. Father, that you have allowed Trump to amazingly put in place an executive order for asset seizures of those who are found guilty, Father, for crimes against humanity. We are excited about that, Lord, and we are thankful for that. Father, we thank you that we consistently are seeing actions through our judicial system, through the Department of Justice, Lord, through our state and even community, locally, Lord. We are seeing the evidence of these crimes being held accountable. Father, we are also mindful of those who have suffered loss because of crimes against them, Lord, with whatever the reason, Father. We thank you that you know the truth, that you are behind the truth, and that you are allowing the truth to be exposed. We thank you, Lord, for President Trump's desire for transparency and that he is circumventing the strategies of the pit of hell to oppress free speech. Father, that you are allowing Trump to stand up for righteousness. Father, that you are allowing him to use alternative means to communicate the truth. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you also, Lord, that you are using our Department of Justice to bring forth that truth. And Lord, we know because we have just sat here and identified all the amazing things that you are using Trump to do, that there is a strategy, that there is an assignment from the pit of hell to remove him. And so we stand right here right now in Jesus' name and we speak to that assignment. It is done. It is canceled. In Jesus' name, we put the Jesus against it, and we know that it has no hold, no place, no right on this planet. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to keep our president safe, that you would continue to keep him whole, that you would keep him healthy, that you would continue to protect his family, Father, that you would continue to ultimately protect the plan that you are using him to accomplish. We thank you for what you are doing. We give you all the praise and the glory. We recognize that it is your hand that is moving in our world. We recognize that it is your eyes that are looking to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are towards you. Father, we know that there are hearts that are towards you or there are hearts that are against you. And so we thank you, Father, that you are looking for those whose hearts are yours and that you are looking to bring blessing and favor upon them, Father, that you are continuing to heal not just our land, Father, but bodies and lives. And Lord, ultimately, that you are our comforter, that you bring comfort to those who are still aching in light of last weekend, Lord. We thank you that you care. We thank you that your heart aches as well, and that it is not okay, Lord. And we pause and we are mindful of those people again, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing healing to the people who were injured. We thank you, Lord, that you preserved their lives, that you were merciful on their lives and their families, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you would just bring deep, deep comfort on those who had lost. Father, we thank you for all of that. We thank you, Lord, for those on our call who are in the process of healing and being healed. Father, we thank you for those who are in the process of learning how to be healed. Father, Lord, I feel like there's people on the call tonight that need prayer for healing, Lord. And so I just am moving in the spirit to reach out to those people and extend healing in Jesus' name on their lives. Jesus, you said that we could pray for the sick and that they would be healed, that we would even do greater miracles than the miracles you did, which is mind-boggling in your name. I thank you that we can come in your name, in the name of Jesus, and speak healing over their lives. And we give all of this to you. We ask all of these things according to your will. Grant it, Lord. May you ultimately receive the glory. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kimberly. Always bring that great energy. And, you know, you talked about how the Lord is using Trump to do so many great things. And we couldn't count the number of amazing things this president is doing, and it, you know, just reinforces that it is my firm belief, just as an observer, that he's got to be anointed, that there's no one man could do this. And Kimberly, I know you know there's scripture to back this up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So,
God even says, touch not mine anointed. He actually says that multiple times through scripture, touch not mine anointed. And, I mean, it is obvious. The scripture says that God appoints the leaders, that God himself appoints the leaders and the rulers. And you know what that means? That means that God has allowed every good leader, and he has also allowed every evil leader to be in position for whatever his purpose is going to be. And that is a stretch for some people, Scotty. A stretch to believe that.
It is. And, you know, I have to be honest, myself included, up until President Trump, I never looked at a political leader in my lifetime as being anointed, not even close. There was nobody that ever, and people talked about it a bit during the early Reagan years, and frankly, I just didn't feel that in my gut and in my heart. But this president is just doing way too many things against such strong forces of evil and against so many odds that there's no other explanation that we have an anointed president. And that doesn't mean we don't need prayer. That's just more the reason to pray.
We need more prayer. More prayer.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. And there's 29 people on the call right now, and that's wonderful. I mean, in one sense, maybe a bit disappointing that there aren't more of our 200 members that took the time. But, you know, everyone has to pray when they're called upon, and I think that the fact that there are 29 people here is a testament to this great president being anointed and how he is working so hard, amongst other things, to reset the rule of law. And so we'll bring in Pastor Joseph to pray for the reset of the rule of law. How you doing, Pastor Joseph?
I'm good, Scotty. How about you?
Doing great. You know, before you get started, I just wanted to point out a couple of things with regards to the reset. Even before I do that, I want to remind those that may be new to this community that we have these discussions around our prayers to bring context to these calls, to memorialize this period of history as we are creating recordings and content that will be used at a later date in several different productions. So these prayer calls are important, not only in our prayer, but in a mission to memorialize and record this period of history. And so to that end, I want to talk about the reset of the rule of law. The fact is, had Hillary Clinton won and become president, everything we're seeing the left do right now, all this chaos, all of the agendas they are advancing, they would have been done maybe not as overtly. They wouldn't have had to be so loud about it. I think they would have been done in a more covert way, but slowly she'd take our gun, she'd chip away at the gun laws, maybe even move toward abolishing the Second Amendment. Slowly they would advance their agenda against the rule of law on so many fronts. Above all, there's no way we would see any of these investigations that are going on in our Department of Justice. So this reset of the rule of law led by an anointed president is in the face of a group of people that are working so hard, the antics of so many. You know, we already see people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Her campaign manager resigned in the face of investigations. Bottom line, no other way to put it, he stole money. He used campaign contributions. This will come out. to the extent she's involved, we don't know, but I suspect he and she were bold enough to confiscate some of those funds. We see Ilhan Omar. She came into Congress with so many questions surrounding immigration laws and marriage laws, with her agenda. So these prayers for resetting the rule of law are just so important right now. We're fighting such an aggressive group of evil people. And Pastor Joseph, I know you're paying attention. What do you make of what we're seeing from the left right now? Their advancements, their craziness, all the chaos.
First off, Scott, I want to apologize. I'm actually at the church, and kids came in the room just as you were talking, and my mute wasn't on. So I apologize for interrupting your discussion.
Quite all right.
No worries. Just wanted to apologize. You know, it's a strategy, Scotty. We are not wrestling just against men. Scripture is clear to say that we don't wrestle against flesh, but against principality and power, against hosts of wickedness and rulers of darkness in heavenly places, that our battle isn't carnal, and our weaponry isn't carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down the stronghold. So these functions, you know, you think, how could a group of people, regardless of party, it really is not a party issue. It's a heart issue. How could people who make such huge and unrational mistakes and decisions still be able to keep what seems to be a momentum to move forward to bring chaos and division among the nations? And there's no way it could be happening just by that group of people, because one man is undermining, by the Spirit of God's revelation working through him, their strategies. And, you know, when we have 5 or 10 or 15 shootings pop up out of nowhere, right at the cusp of transition and debate, right literally at the threshold of coming into that season to prepare the focus of the nation as to how they're going to be thinking politically and voting. And all of this stuff just breaks out. You know, that is an implementation of an agenda. It's a strategy that goes way past the ability of man. When you share those things, I see an underlying blueprint of evil using man to unfold or to bring it out. But I also want to encourage you, tying it into the idea that we only have 29 on tonight. And I want to encourage you and those that are on, the Lord said he looked just for one that would stand in the gap, one that would intercede, one that would turn to him, repent and come away from the wickedness and cry out to him in heaven. He said he would come and he'd heal our land. So 29 is like a massive army. It's way more than enough as it relates to what God would be looking for, hearts that are yielded to him to accomplish his purpose. So in every facet of what you're describing, I think that we're seeing evil on the land, and yet we've come together to pray and to make a difference. And I think we can, as it relates to each of these strategies, whether it be gun control, immigration, and the intent to water down the voting population to undermine what the true citizenry of the United States would want by bringing in those that will vote whatever way they need to keep that lawlessness intact.
Well, the word strategy is perfect. I couldn't think of a better word. You couldn't say it any better. It is indeed a strategy. And these shootings that you referred to, particularly the Dayton and El Paso ones, go directly to attacks on our First and Second Amendment. The First Amendment, because they're going after a movement, an intelligence movement that goes by the name of Q, and they're immediately went after the platform that this information is disseminated on, saying that the shooter posted his manifesto on 8chan, which he did not. It was posted on Instagram, and then somebody else put it up on 8chan. But they didn't waste any time going after 8chan to get it shut down. They certainly didn't waste any time to talk about gun control. They already had bills to introduce when they get back. So there's no question of strategy, and I don't know of anything that goes to the heart of our rule of law, any greater than the First and Second Amendment.
Absolutely.
So please go ahead and lead us in that prayer for the reset.
Yeah, I think what we recognize too, and add or correct me if I'm wrong, if the Bill of Rights, the structure and focus of how the Constitution is to be operated and walked in, if the there's really only one amendment that supports the rest, and that's the right to bear arms. If we don't have it, we have no means to keep the rest intact.
Indeed. And they've been chipping it away at the Second Amendment every opportunity they get. And we truly are at a place where, and I think most of everybody on this call will agree, we can't give any ground to these people, none whatsoever.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
They'll make a case for what type of weapons we should have. Oh, I had someone tell me today, oh, well, I don't mind if you have a handgun at home, but you know anything more than a handgun? Oh, so I should be out-armored by the enemy, which, of course, our forefathers gave us this right, not necessarily to protect our homes against invasion, but to protect against a tyrannical government.
Absolutely.
And God knows, had Hillary won, I have no doubt she would employ or deploy our military to go door to door to take guns away. That was inevitable, in my opinion, in her 4 years. So we are really fighting this battle. It's they're not going down without a fight. As you say, they have a very specific strategy. But we all on this call know one thing. We have God on our side, and they have Satan, and God is going to win every time. So the floor is yours, Father, for a prayer.
Well said, well said. Scotty, the scripture tells us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, that if God be for us, who can be against us? If he's on our side, how can we be denied? For in all these things we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that love being the fullness of the plan that he has for the earth and the people on it, which is for them to be blessed in their course, for a kingdom to be given to them, and for the order of the earth to run in line with heaven's order. So, Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you that as we come, Lord, you've said that we're to come before your throne boldly. There's an abundance of grace for us to have access to, that we can come in partnership with you. Your son even said when we pray in accordance, in line with your will, that we can rest assured that we have what we pray for. And so we're continuing to stand in faith because we've already asked it, Lord. We're thanking you for the reset of the rule of law. We don't need to bring it as a request any longer, but we stand in agreement with you for it. That every part of the foundation of laws that's represented in this nation, Lord, would be brought back to the focus, to the foundation of truth and integrity that was established in the Constitution by those that were willing to come together to set it in its place. And Lord, they gave us an obligation that should things go sideways, that we were to take up and position ourselves to address the issue of corruption and any dictatorial or tyrannical action that could be taken by the current government that would oppose the Constitution and the will of the people as it related to their desire to have the Constitution be the basis of law and structure in the land. And we come not with sword or plow, not with gun or any other type of physical weaponry. Father, we come with the spiritual weaponry you've given us with prayer and intercession, with praise and with thanksgiving, to thank you for intervening. Father, even as we've already recognized that the current president and vice president and those that have been brought in by him, surrounding him, even in the Supreme Court, that men have been and women have been handpicked by you and set in position to bring a change, and we're in agreement with you for that to take place. We thank you for it. Father, your authority is final. Your word is the final word, and we agree with your word tonight. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, as we would pray for a reset of law for this nation, for the United States of America, Lord, we also pray that you would usher in an order in each of the nations that would be based on your truth, based on your word, that would hold freedom and equality as it relates to a republic, a structure of government that is of the order that you would intend. And I don't suggest that a republic is necessary for every nation, but using it as a reference point that however you would want to implement the reset of law for the nation. So the corruption, the undermining of economies, the severity of poverty and civil rioting that's happening in other nations because the powers that be, the deep states, went in and destabilized their economies and caused them to come into ruin so as to usurp and manipulate and to take their riches and their wealth and cause them to be slaves to their situation. Father, we ask for your grace to intervene for those nations, that there would be turnaround for them as well. And Venezuela pops into my head tonight. The assault on Brazil pops into my head tonight. The confusion in China pops into my spirit tonight. Lord, would you have mercy on them? We stand in proxy for our nation, but we also ask for mercy across the earth so that we would see your hand move in power. And Lord, we thank you again for what you're doing. Father, would you move as well in the hearts, in the structure, in the management, in the ownership of the media, whether it be TV or radio, whether it be internet or other types of medium. We recognize there's a perversion, a perverseness about their agenda, and it's representing a complete misrepresentation of the truth to further what darkness would want to see manifest in the overthrow of what we would hope for you to do. So we agree tonight that you would either change the hearts of those that are in control, or you'd remove them and shut them down and raise up another standard. And we're good with however you choose to do it. But Father, that you'd bring the media into light, into exposure, that you would actually lay bare the things that they've been doing in secret and the radical agenda that they've been trying to impose on those who aren't even aware that this stuff's going on. We recognize that we're a small percentage, a remnant, who are awake like this. Not suggesting we're better or worse, but God, we need more people awake. And so we ask, have mercy by intervening, exposing the agenda of the media, and either causing them to turn or replacing and raising up another standard that would actually represent the truth so that the people could come in agreement and support what's going on, be aware of what's going on, not being lulled to sleep and overwhelmed by one terrible thing after another and trying to have them to shut down because they can't handle the duress, the stress of circumstance. So we commit these two areas to your care tonight. And thank you that you hear us. Thank you that the angels are commissioned to go forth to warn, minister, and accomplish what it is we're standing in agreement with you for. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph and Kimberly. And before we move to our closing gratitude prayer, I just want to remind folks, we've started publishing articles on Prayers for 45. We published our first article this week, 5 Reasons President Trump Will Be Elected, Re-Elected in 2020. So you can check that out on the site, and we will post an article every week, and you'll be notified by email when those articles are posted. Our article for next week is why we should not be surprised about the socialist advances in this country, the move towards socialism that is happening, that we see this party called the Democrats moving so far to the left towards socialism and Marxism. And I'm collaborating with another gentleman, and we're going to explain why that none of this should surprise us as we go down forward in time and get closer to the elections. We think they're going to get more, even more unhinged and more crazed. So check out our articles and content on the site. Please do share links with friends and family and help us spread the word so we can grow this community. And check out our web store. If you need a gift for someone, a T-shirt or a coffee mug, we are full of inventory of T-shirts and mugs. So thank you for those announcements, for indulging me. And Kimberly, would you like to add anything before we close?
No, I think, well, sure. I'll add a snippet right here. I just want to encourage everybody to just continue to stay optimistic and be on the lookout for evidence of accountability and evidence of, you know, the return to the rule of law, and just, you know, start seeking those those things, you know, just declaring them, because our words have life. They also, our words also bring death. So we want to speak life as we see the evidences of all these things that we've been praying for roll out in front of us.
Well said. And I don't know how anyone else feels, but my confidence, my trust, my faith in this president and this administration to do the right thing and to bring justice by arresting those, indicting and arresting those that stand in the way of the reset of the rule of law, my confidence is at 100%. I do not see any reason for anything less than full reset of the rule of law, and that can't happen without bringing justice. So I agree, Kimberly,
awesome.
There's no reason for anything but optimism. It's all, I mean, we have an anointed president who just seems to win at everything he does.
Yeah.
So it's
exciting.
I am really optimistic in the face of all this evil that we see, from shootings to doxing President Trump supporters online to all of the, you know, shouts of racism. Russia, Russia, Russia didn't work, so now it's racist, racist, white supremacist. I mean, I believe they are helping us, not hurting us, in their methodical, as Pastor Joseph said, in their strategy. I think it's so flawed, their strategy, they're actually helping us. And in the article we just posted, five reasons Trump will get reelected, one of those reasons is that Democrats, Hispanics, African Americans, LGBTQ community, they are leaving the party of evil in masses, and they're coming over to the right side of the spiritual war. So we have all reason to be optimistic, and really I see nothing standing in the way of complete and total victory of the reset, and then of course a victory in 2020. So thank you, Kimberly, for adding that.
You're welcome.
Well, as always, we will close with our gratitude prayer, and then all go about our business for the evening. Lord, we devoted ourselves to prayer tonight, being watchful and thankful, and in turn, you will show us the light at the end of this day and every day. Thank you, God, for the harvest in our life. Thank you. We're grateful for what we have and for what we will receive. In this spirit of thankfulness, we pray with a very grateful heart. Your loving presence provides for us our every need. You make the rough way smooth, and thank you for your vigilant care. Thank you for strengthening our judgment, good judgment that turns us away from pursuing courses that may be unwise and unfulfilling, good judgment that prompts right responses and right action. Thank you for your empowerment and strength in us. Thank you for the wisdom to know what to do in any need, wisdom to know how to handle any situation, wisdom to avoid danger, to choose the right paths. Dear God, we're grateful for life as it is unfolding in our lives and in our experiences. We're grateful for the courage, strength, vision, and stability of mind. We have to know that all things are working together for the highest good of all, even in the midst of evil and change. We are aware that every good thing comes from you, God. We pray that we will be aware of all the good and give thanks for everything we see. We do not take anything for granted, and we are filled with gratitude. Lord, we're grateful to be on our mission to pray for President Trump tonight. We're grateful he is leading us through these difficult times and through the storm, and that our president is focused on his mission and purpose. Lord, we're grateful you are here to reassert our sovereignty. And we pray and give thanks that you will guide our friends, our family, and our fellow American patriots to help us and to exert their sovereignty as well. Lord, we aspire to make this international order of politicians and bankers and corporate crony capitalists serve the citizens of the planet and not to control us. Lord, we would be thankful for this sovereignty and our freedom. Lord, we're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Kimberly and Pastor Joseph. Grateful for Betty and Diane and Ingrid and Christine. We're grateful for all the prayer warriors that joined us on our call tonight. We're most grateful for this community that brings us together and to pray for our president and his administration. Special note of gratitude to our longtime prayer friends that have been with us since our very first call. We've got Van and Kathy and Kathy and Ken and William and Liz. Probably leaving somebody out, but thank you all so much. As we are grateful, we'll be celebrating our one-year anniversary in this coming week. Lord, we will not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to you. When we live in the power of God, we get stronger and all of our fears disappear. Lord, we're so grateful for everything you've given us. Thank you so much for the loved one in our lives and for the many ways in which we are all cared for and supported on this call. Thank you for the many ways we can serve and give to others today and every day. Lord, we want to serve, and therefore we shall serve and do your work. Lord, we thank you from the bottom of the heart. We thank you for everything we are, and thank you for this time together tonight. Amen. Well, that's it for tonight, everybody. Go out, hang up the phone, give somebody a hug, or go out and find somebody homeless and buy them a meal. I'm going to go out and do that. There's plenty of folks in my neighborhood that are hungry. So have a good night. Do something for somebody. Make them feel good and give someone a big hug. We'll see you on, Sunday night. We'll see you Sunday. Bye-bye.